Coming up, it's our first ever product redemption. Leo has not one, but two Chromebooks. Megan is all about the bass, the Why Things activite, and a first look at a 4K monitor. You've got to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
It's time for TWiT's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make TWiT even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey.
This episode of Before You Buy is brought to you by iFixit. You can fix it, and iFixit makes it easy with free step-by-step repair guides, high-quality replacement parts, and all the tools you'll ever need. For $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, go to iFixit.com/twit and enter the code BEFOREYOUBUY at checkout. And buy SmartThings. SmartThings lets you monitor, control, and automate your home from wherever you are using your smartphone. Right now, SmartThings is offering Before You Buy listeners 10% off any home security or solutions kit, and you get free shipping in the United States when you go to smartthings.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT at checkout. Welcome to Before You Buy. It's TWiT's product review show where we get some of the gadgets and the gizmos that we get into the TWiT Brick House studio and we give it out to our hosts and our staff members to see what kind of honest, frank opinions they can give us on the latest and greatest in consumer hardware. And speaking of the latest and greatest in consumer hardware, when we relaunched Before You Buy with me, we decided we wanted a few new segments, one of them being this idea of a product redemption. That's right, a product that maybe didn't make the cut the first time around, and that the host had some very specific ideas of what could be fixed. And so we decided to give the Sensorium another chance. That's right, the first time around, it was reviewed by our very own Chad Johnson, OMG Chad. And this is what he had to say on the first go.
Design, it uses the cool reflective design and the app in-app education. For the cons, inconsistent app.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not reliable.
I was not sure if it was reading it correctly, if something was broken, if I was doing it wrong. I'd try to cover my thumb to make sure that
it needs to be consistent. Otherwise, right. You have no confidence
right.
in the measurement.
So there's no way to share this info after you have taken it. This is great.
No central...
This is information you'd want to share with a doctor. I want a printout of this.
Yeah.
And finally, it's a buggy app. I mean, other than the inconsistent scores and the inconsistent testing.
Are they selling it now or is it?
This is available now.
Yeah, this feels like a beta.
I mean, it feels like it hasn't. It's been rushed. I mean, it feels like this shouldn't be on the market yet.
Yeah.
That they still have bugs that they need to work out. Because this is the smallest device of its kind, and I feel like the hardware is designed well, I am hesitant to give it a don't buy.
Maybe they could fix this.
Because it could be fixed in the future.
No, don't buy this.
Seriously. Yeah, I would give it a don't buy until they actually
fix
it.
Yeah, when they fix it, then you could buy it.
Absolutely.
Now, that is the foundation of the redemption, that idea that it could be
It could be fixed. And so I'm back with the Sensorium Tinkay. And this, they've updated it in a few different ways. The hardware has been updated, so now it has a lightning connector. Before, that was the 30-pin
right.
connector. Also, there's like some small hardware changes. It used to be that this little cap could fit onto the bottom, and it would sort of stay there. They got rid of that. So now
you're going to lose the cap.
So now you're going to lose the cap to somewhere else. In terms of the app has also... One problem that I've always had with this is that I have a case on my phone, and I have to take it off every single time.
That's annoying.
I have to
now. Originally, the original product, it actually when it worked well. It was just the app was so buggy.
Well, I mean the app was really buggy, and there was a big problem with the results. And after I did that review, the company actually ended up emailing me and saying, "You're doing it all wrong. You're putting way too much pressure
You're holding it wrong.
On the sensor." Absolutely. And in fact, that was true. The problem was is that if I went to take a, I'm going to do a measurement and then I'm going to fail on it just to show you that it'll send you to a tutorial. So I did that tutorial at one point, and the tutorial says is what? And so I can view the tutorial. And during this tutorial, when I took it at the original review, it gave me a pressure guide to follow.
Now, what is this supposed to be doing?
What it's supposed, so the whole idea of the product is that it uses this sensor that my thumb is under right now, and it looks at your blood, and so it can tell what your heart rate is, what your blood oxygen level is, and what your respiratory level is, so how many breaths you're taking a minute.
Now, we've got Dr. Morbius in the chat room who's saying, well, you know, finger pulse monitors don't work if you squeeze too hard. What happens if you squeeze really hard?
If you squeeze really hard, it just, it just doesn't work. It doesn't, it spikes and it doesn't work. And that's what was happening was the tutorial that I took in the original review was giving me a pressure gauge that was buggy, that I sent them screenshots of it, and the representative got back with me and said, this is wrong.
So they had seen the problem before.
They saw the problem, and they gave it to their engineer. So that has changed my aspect of this entire product completely. So now, much more consistent results. I could be user-defined, although the app had trained me on how to use it before. Everything is better. Like, it used to be that it would constantly not detect the Tinke when it was in the phone. It would constantly say, go ahead and plug it in now. And it was like, it was plugged in. Like, seriously, let's get on. So there's two different measurements. There is the Zen score and the Vita score. And right now I'm taking the Vita score. And basically this is a measurement of all three of the core things that this measures: the blood pressure, the heart rate, and the respiratory.
So this
level.
Is just facts. This is what what's your
basically
your, yeah, temperature, what's your pressure, etc.
And then it'll average it into one base score that is kind of like its super score. Now, right now, I'm talking. You're not supposed to do what I'm doing right now. I'm talking. I'm moving.
You're
around,
messing
I'm
up
standing.
Your measurements.
Right. It wants you to sit down in a calm, quiet room and take your measurements like you would your blood pressure. So I'm not. Oops.
Which was one of the problems that you had with the original.
Yes. And there's still a few bugs. Like I noticed when I went, they have an online dashboard. And when I went to the online dashboard, I couldn't remember my password. Click forgot my password. It doesn't lead anywhere. If I inspect the element, it's just an anchor tag without any references to a URL to follow. So there's definitely still some bugs with the whole platform. But in general, it is way more solid. I could easily, I got through, you know, 2 or 3 weeks using this perfectly fine. So that was the Vita score. There's a Zen score, which is more like whenever you measure your Zen.
This is like a biofeedback type.
Exactly.
Deal.
And so this is you pick a circle and you use that to control your breath, and it's a lot more like a meditation process. And all of the entire product is a much more focused on well-being, like lifestyle choices than actual pure health data.
Okay. So if you're looking for an activity monitor, that's not what this is for. That's
no.
what you got a band for that. This
no.
is more.
This is more
people
lifestyle.
Want to change lifestyle.
Exactly.
Got
exactly.
It.
And so you can see my Zen score is 56. The average for my age group is 66. My Vita score is 56. I guess those are the same. That was weird. I was like, I'm saying the same numbers. for my category is 77. You can see sort of down in here the base level. So my blood oxygen level was 100, which is great. My heart rate on the average for this month, for March, was 104. And it looks like my breath rate in a minute is 15. And then if I go over to February, you can see I have different scores along this. But you can see that they're even in this, they're minimizing the actual results and maximizing their averaged interpretation
right.
of what you should be doing. And then it's great. They have the back when I reviewed this a while ago, they have all of that data still in here, which is kind of nice.
The important thing, again, is not to think of this as a competitor to even like the Apple Watch or any of the fitness bands. This is something that you would break out every once in a while to say, you know, I got
How
too much stress
doing?
In my life,
right,
and
exactly.
I want to let go of some of that.
This feels much more like soccer mom eating her cereal, wants to feel good about how she's doing in her workouts and getting back to Zen and stuff like that is much more what this product is like.
Break it down for me. What are the pros and the cons?
So, also, one of the big things that I gave this a con for was I couldn't export. Now they have an export feature where if you go into account settings, you can scroll all the way down and export. The biggest problem is that when you export, you can only export the last 30 days. So if you have any more information, you can't do that. So the pros, it is very small, lightweight, doesn't require an extra battery. It just plugs straight in. For the cons, I wish that it exported more than just 30 days. And that's basically it. It comes in at $120. And they do offer an Android version now, which is wireless, for an extra $10. Oh. And there's also different colors. If you don't like the blue, you can get a hot pink or a black version as well.
Okay, now, the original review was that it was a bit too buggy. It was a bit too undercooked. It had a couple of issues with both UI and with hardware. We've now given it a redemption.
We've given it a redemption.
And your verdict is?
I'm upgrading it to a try.
Okay.
Still not a crazy endorsing happy review, but it worked basically 95% of the time. I know that's a really kind of a crummy review, but it worked most of the time. It did what it claims, and I didn't have humongous issues like I did with the previous product. $120, I would say, is a lot of money.
It is.
So this is definitely... If this is your perfect product, go for it. If it's not, I'd leave it on the table.
Yeah, well, and that's what the whole idea of the redemption is, which is, are they showing progress? And it sounds like
they are.
It's progress.
They definitely are.
Maybe we need to get them back on in a couple of months to do
another
redemption.
Once they come
redemption.
Out with the Tinkay 2, yeah, possibly.
There we go. That's Chad Johnson with the Sensorium Tinkay. It got a product redemption, kind of. It's now been upgraded to a try instead of a don't buy. Now, of course, OMG Chad can be found here on the Twit TV network. He's the host, along with Dick DiBartolo, of the GizWiz. When does that show go on?
GizWiz is on Thursday at around 4:30 Pacific time, 7:30 Eastern time.
Yeah, and you've got your own stellar podcast, a group of content on YouTube. Where do they go to support you?
Minecraft. So I do YouTube.com/OMGChad is my personal channel. I've been streaming a ton, Twitch.tv/OMGChad. Come check out my live streams. I do them every Wednesday night.
There you go.
Cool.
Chad, thank you very much. Now, would you mind sticking around a bit? Because I need someone who's got hand model experience.
Oh, yeah.
Show off this product here. Because, when we talk about tools, when we talk about fixing things, when we talk about making things, it always starts with the tools that you use for the project, which is why we're happy to have iFixit as a sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy. Oh, Before You Buy and iFixit go way back. iFixit is the source of all tools and repair guides for the Twit TV network. iFixit.com is the free online repair manual for everything. They have more than 10,000 repair guides for everything from electronics like your smartphone, your tablet, and your game console to your home appliances, clothing, and even your bike. They also have foolproof instructions on things like how to fix your iPhone screen, or do you need to repair the red ring of death on your Xbox, or maybe swap the battery on your Galaxy. iFixit has got you covered with parts, tools, and repair guides. iFixit also makes the most trusted repair tools for consumer electronics, including the ProTech Toolkit, which is what you see Chad so wonderfully demonstrating right here.
Demonstrating the magnet.
The
it's
magnet.
Awesome.
We love the magnet. Now, this is 70-plus tools to assist you with any mod, malfunction, or misfortune that may come your way. This toolkit is the gold standard for electronics works from garage hackers to the CIA and FBI, but more importantly, their unique tools are used by repair technicians everywhere. Oh, they've got the 54-bit driver toolkit. That's this wonderful thing
that.
Here that will pretty much open up everything. If it exists in the electronic world, you're going to find a bit for it. That includes Penelope bits, Phillips bits, Torx and Torx security bits, tri-wing bits, triangle bits. We've all had that experience of using the wrong bit to try to pry open a screw. Well, why do that? Why not just have the right bit for the right project? It also includes ESD-safe precision tweezers for delicate manipulation, anti-static wrist straps that keep your devices safe from accidental static discharge, like, for example, if you're using Arduino and you don't want to blow it out with some carpet weaving. It also includes nylon spudgers, metal spudgers, the way to get those hard cases open. If you've ever tried to open up a laptop with a flat screwdriver, you know you can mar the surface. Well, that goes away if you use the right tool for the job. It's lightweight, it's compact, and this durable tool roll makes it the on-the-go choice for repair professionals and amateurs alike. It's only $64.95, and it's backed by a lifetime warranty. Hobbyists and home DIY fixers alike also use the ProTech Toolkit for doorknobs, eyeglasses, cabinet doors, sink fixtures, and more. If you're looking for a great addition to an artist or hobbyist tool chest, look no further. Best of all, there are thousands of free iFixit guides to help you put your tools to use. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to fix it. And with iFixit, you can fix it yourself. Visit iFixit.com/twit for more than 10,000 free step-by-step guides. iFixit also sells every part and tool that you'll ever need. Enter the code before you buy at checkout, and you'll save $10 off any purchase of $50 or more. That's iFixit.com/twit. iFixit.com/twit. Remember, it's the brand that has OMG Chad as their hand model. And use the code before you buy to save $10 off of your purchase of $50 or more. And we thank iFixit for their support of Before You Buy.
Did I do a good job?
You did. Thank you very much. You know, that comes from, that's the Minecrafting skills.
I know.
The dexterity, yeah. Right?
People say that if you sit around at your house on a computer all day long, you don't get talent. But I got to show you, it's wrong. Hand modeling.
Hand modeling, indeed. Now, we do actually have another hand model here on the network. That's right. Leo Laporte has been known to do hand modeling.
To model some hands. Time,
you know, nice. You'll see his hands in various catalogs around the... I just made that up, but it could possibly be true. But let me tell you something. We gave Leo two brand new Chromebooks. In fact, one of them that he had in his hands even before it was officially released.
What?
And he had a chance to check them out. So let's find out what Leo Laporte thinks about the new Pixel and the 15-inch Chromebook from Acer.
Thanks, Father Robert. Well, I think you all know about the Chromebook category somehow, despite the fact that I was the original skeptic of Chromebooks. I've become the reviewer of Chromebooks. And I have to say, I've kind of come around. I see schools using them. Michael, my 12-year-old, uses a Chromebook in his school. It's mandated by the school. It's part of their one-to-one program. I think 21% of computers bought by schools last year were Chromebooks. There's a real use case for Chromebooks. And I, like probably a lot of you, initially said, well, it's just a browser. It's not a computer. That's crazy. What was really crazy is 2 years ago in 2013 when Google came out with this, the Chromebook Pixel, for $1,200. It was a Chromebook. Same thing, Chrome OS. It's just a browser kind of thing. But it was like, if spare no expense, how would it be? What would you make? And there are people who love it. I thought it was pretty great. Still wasn't completely sold. It wasn't as fast as I wanted it to be. It wasn't mature yet. Fast forward 2 years, and I've started to use Chromebooks more and more and become happier and happier with them. And Google has released a new one. Let me log into this. One of the things about Chromebooks that's great is that once you log into your Google account, they immediately get all the settings, the wallpaper, everything. So within maybe 10 minutes of signing on to Wi-Fi and logging onto your Chromebook, it's identical to your previous Chromebook. And this, in fact, if you look at it, does look very similar to the original Chromebook Pixel. There's fewer ports, different ports too, Type-C charging, USB connectors, a headphone port on this side, an SD card slot, which is kind of not super useful. It does mount flush, so you could use it as extra storage if you wished. And a second Type-C slot. That's kind of cool. The Type-C connector is for power. That means you could put power on either side of the Chromebook and have video or data come out of the other side. So it's a very flexible setup that way. Again, the Chromebook is a weird 3.2 aspect ratio, the Pixel, like last year or 2 years ago. But it is the best looking Retina display I've ever seen and just gorgeous. It's also a touch screen. So it is a lot faster. This is a Core 2... What is it? An Intel i5 processor, Haswell, amazing battery life. It says I have 14 hours. I've got between 9 and 12 hours on a single charge each time, which is really great. You can carry it around. And it is super fast. So with the 8 gigs of RAM, fast SSD storage, watch how quick it is to turn it off and then turn it back on again. Let me sign out of my Chromebook here. It takes a while to shut down. So let me do that. I'm going to shut down. Now watch, as I turn it back on again, start counting, ready? Just turn it on, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005. It's booted up. So 5 seconds boot up. Now, of course, I'm going to log in, and you shouldn't look while I log in. This is one negative to the Chromebook, is the only way to log in is with your Google account. And if you, like me, have a nice, long, complicated Google password, that's kind of a disadvantage. I had to end up memorizing it. It is a touch screen, and that's actually pretty awesome. Let's go to, twit.tv, and I'll show you why this is cool. The touchscreen now lets you pinch and zoom. So if I see something and I want to see more detail, I can pinch and zoom on it, which is great. I can also, of course, scroll. I don't use touch all that often, but the times you want to use touch, it's great. Also, Chrome OS has gotten more mature. In fact, if you look at the taskbar, it really almost feels like a full-blown operating system. It's kind of a Windows-style taskbar. It even has a start menu, and in the start menu are apps. Some capabilities are added via extension. Those show up here. Some are added by apps. Those will show up down here. And apps are kind of full screen, so they're more like an actual application. For instance, I can launch Authy, which is an authentication program. You see it launches as a window, just as an app would. I've also got a chat on here now, which is cool. And so I can do a lot of the things I would do Evernote on a regular computer as an application as well, on the Chromebook. It really does feel like a full-blown computer system. And with 8 gigs of RAM, with an i5 processor, I didn't get the ludicrously speedy version, the 999 version is still really, really fast. The negative is, I just said it, 999. It's very expensive. But I have to say, Chrome OS, even though you can get a $200 or $300 Chromebook, when it really is on nice hardware, a beautiful screen like this, a touch screen with the capability of launching things really fast, it feels more like a real computer. And in many respects, I feel like this is everything I need. I've fallen in love with Chrome OS on the $999 Chromebook. So this is the other one. I'm kind of excited about this. This is from Acer. Just came out on March 18th yesterday, or 2 days ago. This is the Acer Chromebook 15, a 15-inch Chromebook. So that's the biggest screen I've ever seen. It's not a touch screen, and in fact, it's not a super great screen. But the size makes it very appealing. I've hesitated recommending Chromebooks to older folks with poor vision because, well, sometimes it's kind of hard to read the screen. But they've added to Chrome OS the ability to zoom, magnify the browser window a little bit, and the ability to choose larger fonts. Let's type the right URL for twit.tv. One of these days I'll learn. So the lack of pinch and zoom maybe isn't great, but you can easily, with the control plus and minus, increase the zoom. So for older folks, this is now very easy to read and has all the features of Chrome I like. It's very secure. If you ever get a bug on this on Chrome OS, you can power wash it and go right back to the way it was. This isn't as speedy, although it's a pretty high-end fifth-generation Intel processor. Yes, it's Haswell. They claim battery life of 9 hours, and I see no reason not to say that. Right now, it says I have 80% and 6 hours left. So, okay, maybe 8 hours, but certainly a lot of battery time. 1920 by 1080 means it's a gorgeous, you know, resolution screen. Boots up in 7 seconds, not 5. So it's almost as fast as the Pixel. And as with all Chrome OS Chromebooks, it comes with 100 gigs of Google Drive. Internal memory is only 32 gigs, but that's enough because most of what you're doing is in the cloud. So the advantages of this, great sound. In fact, let me play some music. I've got my Google Music on here and play some music. Both of these laptops have excellent sound. This one has big speakers left and right on the front. And a good test song is Uptown Funk because it's got a nice beat and I can dance to it. Let me play something from my Google Music, and you'll hear how this sounds. Let me put the microphone in front of the speakers. It's loud. The sound is great. There's even some bass. You could dance to this. So, great speakers, a big screen, not the best screen I've ever seen, but a very good screen for, so let me turn that down. A keyboard that is pretty much the same as all the other Chromebook keyboards. No difference, no better, but no worse. Doesn't light up. The one thing that worries me about this Acer 15-inch is it's white, and it's kind of a plastic that feels like it's going to get dirty and show signs of wear and dirt pretty quickly. You might want to get a case for this guy to protect it. Or if they offer other colors down the road, you might want to look at that. But I have to say, for somebody who's got poor eyesight or just wants a lot of screen real estate, a 15-inch Chromebook is something we've needed for a long time. So let's talk about the pros and cons. On the Acer Chromebook 15, the pro, of course, screen size, great speakers, excellent battery life, and a price that really is easy. On the con side, the construction feels a little bit flimsy. The screen is perhaps not as rich and colorful as I'd like, although it does get pretty bright, which is, as you can see, too bright here for our cameras, which is a nice feature. And the ability to zoom in on text means it's very legible. No touch either. That's another con. On the Chromebook Pixel, well, the pros are pretty obvious. This is a no-compromises Chromebook. Look at this. Watch this. This is a new feature on the Chromebook. You can double-tap the light in front. It'll tell you how much battery is left. And talk about battery. Between 12 to 14 hours of battery life. One of the best screens I've ever used. This is comparable to a MacBook Retina display, not only in resolution, but just crispness, the vividness, the brightness of colors. Great keyboard, lights up nicely. On the con side, the 3:2 aspect ratio is unusual and means that this is not going to be a great choice, perhaps, for projectors. We can't actually use it in our studio because it's not a normal aspect ratio. We can't put it up on the screen for you. And the biggest con, of course, in the Chromebook Pixel is the price, $999 for the base model. If you want the ludicrously speedy model, the LS, that's $1,299 for a faster processor and more memory. This is an excellent notebook. In fact, both of them are, and I would recommend both. I'd say they're both a buy depending on your needs. If you need a big screen, you don't mind the bulk and the heft of a 15-inch notebook, the Acer Chromebook 15 for the price, a great buy. And if you want to spare no expense and see really what Chrome OS can be at its best, man, I highly recommend the Chromebook Pixel. The new Pixel is now my go-to computer. I like it so much, I'm actually having second thoughts about buying that new MacBook. This is the computer I've been looking for. So a definite buy on both of the new Chromebooks from Acer and Google. Back to you, Father Robert.
That's Leo Laporte with two different Chromebooks on opposite sides of the spectrum. You can go with the Pixel. That's right. It's the no-holds-barred Chromebook for about $1,000. Or you could go with the Acer, the beautiful 15-inch Chromebook for those people who are looking for something a little less expensive but with a bigger screen. Both buys from Leo Laporte. Leo Laporte, of course, you'll find him everywhere on the TwitTV network. Just turn the stream on and you're going to see him. Now, let's move from Chromebooks to something that's a bit more personal. And for that personal touch, we brought into the studio Miriam Joar. Miriam, thank you very much for being here.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Now, better now that I see this. What is this, an activité?
Yeah, so depending on how you say it, people say withings. Some people say withings.
Withings.
I say withings, but the withings activité is a high-quality Swiss watch. If you look at me here, Brian, real quick. You know, it looks like I'm just wearing a watch. There's no display on this. It's a mechanical watch, Swiss made.
So there's no LCD hiding behind the hands here.
No trickery here. And the idea is that it's a fitness tracker. It gives you feedback on your goal. And it syncs over Bluetooth LE with an iOS or Android phone, of course.
So that feedback's going to come on another device. And there's nothing on the watch.
There is feedback on the watch.
There is.
And I'll show you in a second. Yes. So I'm going to put it down here. There we go. So as you can see, it is a beautiful, let me see, there we are. So let me try to put it maybe in a way that you guys can all see. Whoa, this is hard to do. Here we go. Is that good?
That's good.
So this is a really beautiful watch.
That's see, very well designed.
It is a sapphire glass, you know. If you bump it, the hands readjust themselves because they're stepper motors. It's got a stainless steel, 316 stainless steel, high quality polished enclosure. It's waterproof to 5 atmospheres. You can see up here there's a little button you can push with a paper clip, and that's actually to pair it.
It's
with
got quite a pronounced bulge.
It does have
a
bulge
there.
But it runs on a single CR2025 battery.
Okay.
Lithium disposable battery that runs for about 8 months.
Okay.
Right? So you notice though that there is no crown or anything to do any adjustments other than this little pairing button. That's because it's paired with your phone, as I said, iOS or Android, and it gets its time synchronized from the phone. So when you go through time zones, it changes the time. And I don't know if you can see. Maybe can you make the camera a little brighter? Bump the gain on it a bit so we can see the hands.
Yeah, actually, just angle it a tiny bit up.
And that's better though. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can see the detail now of the
I like the motion on that.
So you can see the time there. There's a white one with a there we go, that's better. There's a white one with a brown leather band too, and this is black. It comes originally with a black leather band, but I've replaced it with, included in the box is a silicone band, because this is waterproof, so you can go swimming with it. Now you'll notice there's a second dial inserted here with an orange needle. And that's the cool thing about this watch, is that it shows you goal that you set on software on your phone on the Withings app, and it tells you how far along your goal you are. Obviously, I haven't been walking and done too much today yet, but I'll try to catch up later. And my goal is 10,000 steps, so I've done about a quarter of that today. And it gives you that feedback as you go, and it resets at midnight every night. And so it's got accelerometers built in, and all the sensors you'd expect for a fitness tracker.
You know, there's some people in the chat room who are saying that it seems to be a very conservatively designed device, and I don't think there's anything
that's
wrong
the
with
idea.
That. That's the idea. This is the smartwatch that doesn't look
really
smart.
It's not really a smartwatch because it doesn't give you notifications. It doesn't even show you the date. Right? It shows the time. The time is automatic because it's time zone set, and it shows you your activity level. And that's the idea, is that you want to get some feedback about where you're at with your health, but you don't want to necessarily change what the goal was of you getting a timepiece in the first place, which was just to tell the time. So it's a new, interesting approach. Now, it costs quite a bit of money. This is a $450 watch. And
wow.
It's because it's sapphire and high-quality stainless steel, and it comes with a beautiful leather band as well as this. But there's a cheaper version that came out recently. I think it was launched at CES, called the Activité Pop. It's exactly the same design. It looks very similar. Comes in different colors, but it's $150.
Okay, so that's closer to what I'd
But you get a glass.
For.
You get glass. You don't get sapphire. You get a PVD coated enclosure, not stainless steel machined, etc., etc., etc. But functionally, they're identical.
But Miriam, right? At $450, it tells me that they're selling me a timepiece that has some activity tracking.
That's exactly
that's
the
what
point.
It's supposed to be.
Yes.
How would you stack this up against other timepieces in that price?
Well, I'm not a watch person. You know, I'm a smartwatch person. So for me, this is kind of useless in the sense that it doesn't have notifications.
Right.
But I've been wearing it alongside a smartwatch, like either my Pebble or my Moto 360. And I have to say that one of the things I love about it is the activity tracking is not just steps. You can set it to track a whole bunch of things, like it can detect whether you're on a bicycle, whether you're swimming, whether you're running, whether you're walking, whether you're sleeping. And their activity, their sleeping tracking is really, really good. So it's been very, very impressed. Let me show you all quickly on the app here how this works, because it gave me some of the best activity sleeping tracking I've ever done. So let me show you real quick here. So here is an example. There we go. Sorry. I'll try to help you there, Brian. I'll let you center this, okay? So as you can see here, you've got my daily steps, and here's my sleep, and this is really exciting. This was the other night, not last night, but the night before. You can see
there's a little bit of tossing and turning going
on. Yeah,
you
can see my light sleep, my deep sleep, my awake time. I went to the bathroom here, and it was like 8:30 in the morning. Screw it. I'm going back to sleep. And look, I succeeded. I actually got some deep sleep until my alarm went off. And if you look, it tells you the time. So my alarm went off at exactly, like as you can see, 8:57. So at 9 o'clock, and then I just light sleep. I kept hitting the snooze button, basically. So it's really interesting. And my quality of sleep, 90%. So basically, that's I achieved almost my 8 hours that I was trying to set out. Now, this is not reflected by the needle on the watch, but it's tracked by their sensors.
Does it need to be paired in order to store this,
There's
or does it store it up?
There's no pairing process. It uses the beacons technology, so Bluetooth LE. And so it's interesting. It never appears paired on any device. In fact, I have it simultaneously hooked up to my iPhone and my Android device, and both of them
sync.
So
it's just broadcasting, basically.
Yeah. And then it
But if the app is not on, it's not collecting that data.
No, it's collecting the data on the watch.
Okay.
If I'm sleeping, my phones are usually off completely. In the morning, you can see it sync, which is really great. In fact, I'm not exactly sure now how it does it, but every now and then you see it say syncing, and it gets the info, which is really cool. So let's see if it'll actually do a sync. It just seems to pull the data whenever it needs to, which I think is really interesting. But I like the sleep tracking. I like the activity tracking and the fact that it gives you feedback. And because now that they have this cheaper model that the activity pop, which comes in different colors, and it comes by default with a silicone band, I think this is something that might be worthwhile for people who don't care about the notifications. They just want a lovely watch that gives them some feedback on their activity.
Okay, Miriam, you got to bottom line it for me. Give me the pros and the cons.
So there's a couple of things I want to add. The pros, it's beautiful. Even the cheaper one, I saw at CS, gorgeously made design. Other pro, no charging, right?
Right.
You just put a new battery every 8 months or so. The battery you can buy anywhere, right? CR2025, it's basically a standard watch battery. Other advantage, it's simple. It's not trying to do your kitchen sink, do everything on your wrist device. It tells you the time, it tells you the status of your activity tracking. What I don't like about it is, well, no notifications. But, maybe I'm asking, it's not what this product was designed for. But for me, having, been wearing smartwatches for a while now, it would be nice to even have two or three of these dials that show you how many notifications, maybe just, not even the notifications themselves, but like a dial that says, this is how busy your inbox is right now. Or be able to reprogram this dial so that instead of showing me my activity goal for the day, it shows me, well, this is how, messed up your inbox is right now. Or this is your server status in health, good or bad, if you're an IT person. That having Withings provide that functionality would be great. So the bad is no notifications. The band isn't long enough. So this is the optional that comes in the box, silicone band. And I'm on the second, notch. I cannot wear the leather one that came with it out of the box. And my wrists are not that huge. To me, that's a huge misstep. I mean, the Moto 360, Pebble, all the other watches out there, you can buy them, and they fit almost anyone.
So it's been made for really small people.
Yes, and I don't understand how that's even possible. But the redemption here is that, as you can see in the back, these come off really easily. They're standard 18-millimeter wide bands. You can go to any watch store, any department store, and buy a band. Leather, canvas, even metal bands are available, so you have some options. But that, to me, is a drawback that they didn't think of that in some way or another when they shipped it.
Other cons?
That's it, really. It's no notifications. It would be nice to reprogram that needle to show you something more interesting. And the band issue when you get it, the strap issue when you get it out of the box.
All right, the why things or withings activité. Buy, try, or don't buy?
I would say this is a try. And I think primarily because it's not going to meet everybody's needs. I think that especially our audience tends to be tech savvy and, expects a smartwatch or a smart wearable device to do a little more, right? Maybe notifications, all that. So, but some will find this a great fit because they don't need to be, a buzzing thing on their wrist all the time. This does not buzz at all. So, yeah.
Well, there you have it, the Why Things activité. If you are looking for a beautiful watch with some smart features rather than a smartwatch with jewelry options, then maybe it's a try. Miriam Jouar, thank you very much for coming onto the show. Where can our audience find you? I know that you're all over, all about Android. We find you here on Before You Buy and all sure. over the Twit network, just kind of sprinkled in.
Yeah.
But where do they find you if they're looking for your work?
So my handle everywhere online is Tankgirl, T-N-K-G-R-L. It's the Tankgirl without the vowels, the comic book character.
Yes.
So that's how you'll find me, at Tankgirl on Twitter. Tankgirl.com is my blog. I'm here on Twit on several shows. And also you'll find me writing articles on various blogs out there like ReadWrite, like Mobile Geeks, some of the Mobile Nations properties as well. And yeah, I'm out there. Just follow me on Twitter. I think that's the best thing to do.
And I think it's okay if we tease the audience as long as we don't show or say anything.
Yes.
You've got some reviews that we have banked now of products that people are going to be very excited about in your regular space, the field you normally cover.
Yeah, which is smartphones, yeah. We have a very exciting device that it's in my pocket right now that I can't show you because it's under embargo, but we'll get it on the air, pretty soon, hopefully tomorrow sometime. So I would say if you're watching Twit tomorrow, stay tuned at the end of the show.
There you go.
For something really exciting that I've reviewed today already.
If you want to check out your next smartphone, you're going to have to watch Miriam. Stay tabbed. Twit TV. Miriam, again, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Cheers.
Now, a lot of people don't know this, but Megan Maroney of Tech News Tonight and, that's right, i5 for the iPhone, well, she is all about the bass. So we decided to give her a little product, a wireless Bluetooth speaker from Nine, to see if maybe she could get her music on.
Thank you, Padre. I am Megan Maroney, host of Tech News Tonight and also i5 for the iPhone. And I was given this Nine bass speaker to try out for a few weeks. It's a Bluetooth speaker. And I should admit that it's the first Bluetooth speaker that I've ever tried. I actually have the iSymphony at home, which is, I think, so old you can't even buy it anymore and it plugs in. So I was amazed and flabbergasted and I loved it. But I just wanted to give the caveat that this is the first one I've tried. It is $150, which is a pretty good price, as far as I can tell, for a Bluetooth speaker, especially one that sounds as good as this. So you just connect it to your iPhone or your iPad or your Samsung phone or anything. It connects through Bluetooth, and then you just press play, and it gets very loud. Can I make it go really loud? So, yeah. That is pretty much how it works. Also, if you receive a phone call while you're using the speaker, it connects through there and you can just connect like you're using a speakerphone. It can skip ahead on tracks. From here, so you don't have to, or you can use your phone to do that. What I said was, or you can use your phone to do that. You can also play podcasts or anything else from your device that you have on your device. One little parent hack that I have that I really enjoyed, I have kids who love to listen to Minecraft videos on YouTube, and we try to limit their screen time to, well, 40 minutes a day. But they would like to listen to YouTube videos all the time and watch them. But what I tried was playing them through my phone onto the speaker, which works really well because then you can just limit their screen time. They're just kind of sitting, playing, doing whatever while they are listening to the videos. The pros are that the charge lasts up to 10 hours. I used it for several hours and it was fine. You can move it inside and out. It's really easy to carry around, easy to connect. It's loud, it sounds good, it's a good price. My only con really was that it's kind of weirdly shaped. It's not heavy, but it's kind of, you know, I wanted it to fit into a smaller space. Yeah, it's great price. I would say a buy, and I'm gonna keep it as long as they tear it away from my hands. That's all I got to say. Back to you, Padre.
That's a buy from Megan Maroney for the Nine bass Bluetooth speaker. If you're looking for a way to get some bass into your life wirelessly, well, maybe that's your next purchase. Now, we want to thank Megan for being on Before You Buy. Of course, you can find her all over the TWiT TV network. She does Tech News Tonight every weekday at 4 o'clock p.m. You'll also find her occasionally on iPad Today and always on i5 for the iPhone. Again, thank you, Megan, and get back to your bass pumping. Now, before we take a look at this, this is a first look at a brand new Acer monitor, a 4K 60 hertz monitor. I thought maybe we should take a moment to thank the second sponsor of Before You Buy. Now, when you think of home automation, you probably think of a lot of different modules and a lot of different pieces of automation that you can put together to control your home. Well, you could do it that way. You could take each little individual bit piece by piece and build up something that could possibly work. Or you could go with SmartThings. Now, SmartThings was the talk at CES 2015. Now, it's not just that they've got great modules like temperature and humidity or the smart sensor or the open door, closed door window sensors, smart outlets or humidity sensors. It's the fact that their interface allows you to put together a bunch of different technologies from different companies to create the smart home that you want. Now, what do you get with this? Well, of course, you're going to get the CES 2015 Editor Choice Award level of equipment with SmartThings. But more than that, you get CNET's highest rated home system. This lets you light your lights, turn on, open your locks or close them, control your thermostats, your home security systems, all through a single app. That's right, a single pane of glass. That's how you make a house smart, by giving you one place where you can control everything in it. It also has intuitive controls to let you set the rules on your smart home through your free iOS, Android, and Windows Phone app. With SmartThings, you can customize the way that your smart devices talk to each other. And this is important, Because you don't want just remote control. You want intelligence. And SmartThings gives you that intelligence. For example, Brian, come back to my overhead. This thing is something that I've really liked. I've been playing with this. This is the presence sensor. Now, when I have this on my keychain, it means that when I walk up to my house, it's automatically going to know that I'm home because it has my device registered. And it's going to know that I want to turn on my Sonos system. I'm going to want to turn my temperature down on my Nest. It knows that I'm going to want to turn on some lights, maybe even unlock the door. I can set all of these things inside the SmartThings app so that my house reacts to me. Now you can set your lamps to brighten each morning at sunrise when you get up. You can keep your home protected with SmartThings with their home security system. You can enable your speakers to broadcast dogs barking if someone shows up at the front door. You could set your camera to enable it taking a series of photos and videos when unwanted motion is detected. That's right. SmartThings makes things smart. Your house and you. Now, here's what we want you to do. We want you to try SmartThings. Now, to get you started setting up your smart home right now, SmartThings is offering Before You Buy listeners 10% off of any home security or solutions kit. And you get free shipping in the United States when you go to smartthings.com/twit. That's smartthings.com/twit. And you use the offer code TWIT at checkout. SmartThings, build your smart home today with SmartThings. And we thank SmartThings for their support of Before You Buy. Now let's come back to the action. I like to test my products for a while. People know this. This is why my reviews tend to be kind of in-depth. I pre-record a lot of them because I don't feel that just a day or two of hanging around with a product really gives you the experience of what it means to own something. That's why when Acer sent me this brand new 27-inch 4K monitor, I told them, I'm going to be holding on to this for a while, guys. And now, it wasn't just for the review. It's because this thing is absolutely gorgeous. This is the Acer S277HK. Now, this is the first 4K 2K Ultra HD monitor with HDMI 2.0 in the world. Now, what does that mean? Well, HDMI 2.0 will allow you to use the HDMI interface, but at 60 hertz. And let me tell you, if you're going to be gaming on a 4K monitor or if you're going to be watching videos in 4K, that matters. And in fact, let me talk to someone in the studio who has a lot of experience with gaming in 4K. Brian,
yes,
we've been getting into a lot of Homeworld recently, haven't we?
Yes, yes, yes. That's a 3D, for those of who haven't heard of Homeworld, is a 3D environment real-time strategy game that was released in 1999, but they remastered it. And oh my God, in 4K, it looks so good.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. But one of the issues that we've had is if you're using an old HDMI standard, HDMI 1.0, you can get frame shearing when the action gets kind of crazy. Like right now, the Wi-Fi in my laptop is dying because I'm pushing so much data, and HDMI 1.0 just can't handle that.
Yeah, and a good point about the 60 hertz is at 30, it's not playable. It's not fun. But if you have a powerful enough machine to do 4K at 60 hertz, it makes all the difference.
Right. Because what HDMI 2.0 does, it actually increases the bandwidth to 18 gigabits per second. You can see this stuttering that we're getting, it's not just the Wi-Fi. It's the fact that the laptop I'm using to drive this just can't drive the right amount of bits. But when I have this hooked up to my desktop, oh my goodness, it's gorgeous. You can't see the pixels. I mean, that's one of the things about this kind of a monitor. It's the right size. It's the right format. It'll give you 3840 by 2160. It'll give you in-plane switching so that the view angle on this is extreme. I can go all the way out almost to the edges here, mm-hmm. and I'm still going to be able to see things in the right color rather than it switching into that pseudo color that you get with lower quality panels. It's got a 4-millisecond response time. It's got that 60 hertz refresh time. It's LED backlit, and it includes DisplayPort, mini DisplayPort, HDMI, and DVI, as well as speakers, so you can pretty much plug anything into this. Now, Brian, there's one thing I really like about this, and I'm going to have to ask Acer to help me test this. The bezel on this is actually very narrow. This comes up all the way to the edge. So what they've told me is that I can put two of these side by side, and because of the way it's designed with that super thin aluminum there, that I should be able to just not notice that.
It'll look pretty seamless.
It should look seamless. I don't know if that's actually going to work.
That'll be a nice setup.
But I've asked Acer to send three more so I can test it on two different machines.
Well, you got to do the full encompassing review. But so a lot of people in the chat room are also asking, how powerful of a machine are you going to need to not only power one 4K monitor, but if you're going to be doing three?
Yeah, you're gonna be looking at some serious horsepower here. You're gonna need at least, you know, a quad core i7. I would get no machine with less than 16 gigabytes of memory, because any software that you're gonna be using to drive that many 4K monitors is gonna need a healthy dose of memory. And most importantly, you're gonna need a killer graphics setup. You're probably gonna be looking at an SLI, something NVIDIA 980 or so. It's going to get expensive. It's going to get really expensive. But you know what? We love you here at Twit, which is why we're going to go through the expense of putting this together so that you can just marvel at it and then come over and visit and take a look every once in a while we play Homeworld.
Yeah, if you haven't had an opportunity to experience a game in 4K, it makes a big difference. I was really impressed with it. And I think the gaming machine I'm using downstairs has an i7, 8 gigs of RAM. I'm only doing one 4K monitor at 60 hertz, and I'm able to play everything on full. And I believe, I have a GTX 780, so relatively new card, not the most powerful card we have in the studio, but, we could test that out too.
Well, but the amazing thing is we're now seeing software, games and editing software that will do 4K. So it's not whether or not we're going to need this. It's coming, and it's up to you to decide whether or not you're going to be ready. Now, this is the Acer S227HK. You're going to be able to find this online for about $600, which it sounds like a lot, but totally not. I mean, if you look at the first generation of 4K monitors, I'm not talking about TVs that could be plugged in monitors. I mean devices that were designed to be computer monitors, because they are different. I've got a cheapo 39-inch 4K monitor that I bought for about $300, and it works, and I use it for video editing. It's nice to have that much desktop, but it doesn't do things like the really wide angles of viewing. It doesn't look nearly as nice, and it just doesn't have all the inputs that you're going to want if you're going to be using 4K in any sort of professional setting. So, again, I'm going to be taking a look at this over the next month or so. I've made this my primary monitor, and I'll tell you if it's going to be worth $600 to go 4K for realsies. What do you think, Brian? You think that this is going to find a place in the no-hole?
Well, Bajre, we got to review it. We got to push it to the limits, and there's no better place to do it than in the no-hole.
You heard us, Acer. We're going to need 5 more of these? Maybe 6?
If they really want us to play with that that bezel, I mean, it looks pretty thin, but I won't know unless I have at least 6 monitors.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our first look. I want to thank you for watching this episode of Before You Buy. Don't forget that we tape every Friday at 2 o'clock Pacific time. That's right. Just drop by at live.twit.tv, and you'll be able to see us put the show together in real time. We're back to real time. Also, don't forget that we've got a chat room at irc.twit.tv. If you want to talk to us during the show, you can always drop in and comment. Well, I've got you right down there, and I can find out what your thoughts are on the products that we're reviewing. I also want to thank everyone who was part of today's show. Of course, to Chad, OMG Chad, for coming in and giving us our first ever product redemption. For Leo for dropping the Chromebook knowledge on us. For Megan Maroney for being all about that bass. And of course, to Miriam Jouar for showing off the Why Things Activite. Don't forget that you're going to find more Twit goodness here at Twit TV. And I think I need to thank everyone who makes this show possible. That means Lisa and Leo for letting us do it. To Karsten, our super producer. And of course, to my TD and my sometimes co-host, Mr. Brian Burnett. Brian, where can people find the Cranky Hippo?
They can find me on Thursdays at 11 o'clock Pacific time doing Know How with you. We have a lot of fun doing that show. And BYB occasionally. It's kind of hard juggling being an editor, host, and TD. But every other week I try and do a review. I think next week I'll be doing a portable projector. So we'll be having fun with that. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at @cranky_hippo.
There we go. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballester, the Digital Jesuit, reminding you that you got to watch before you buy.